Frisians came in to just under 300 kilos of carcass at 298 kilos. And Continentals and early maturing breeds, when you average them out, would have come in at around 299 kilos. So they were only a kilo heavier. The only real difference was that there was probably an extra month of feeding required for the Frisians versus the beef breeds. So that was the only real difference. The actual weight was the exact same. They would have graded a little bit better, obviously, than Frisians, and they would have ate probably a little bit less feed, less silage and less meal.
Hello and welcome to The Beef Edge, the Chagas Beef Podcast, for all your latest news, information and advice for Irish beef farmers. I'm Catherine Egan, and on this week's episode, Dairy Beef 500 manager Alan Dillon discusses some key tips for this time of year rearing calves, the financial performance update for 2023 and slaughter performance. Alan, a very difficult spring to get cattle out to grass on the programme farms this year.
It's been probably one of the trickiest in a while. It's, I suppose, mirroring what happened in the month of March and April last year. But we had, I suppose, a dry February. But very little grazing, if any, done on farms. Some of our drier farms in the east are working cattle in and out here and there, trying to spare silage, and they are, I suppose, in better quality land where it'll drain a bit freer if you get a few days dry. But a lot of the farms maybe in the western counties or the southwest, where they're, I suppose, a heavier soil type, have zero grazing done so far. In a lot of cases, it's just too wet. Ground is saturated almost constantly. And I suppose the problem we're seeing is every time we get 3 days together, or maybe the odd time, we do see ground start to dry, but then it's followed by a deluge and you're back to square one. So we have a couple of problems on farms in terms of, I suppose, slurry is going to be a big problem, coming up very high in tanks again, and silage reserves are starting to dwindle in some cases. So people are starting to maybe look at options, given that the forecast for the next week or so is not looking anything very promising so far.
And what's the plan at the moment on those farms looking into the next 2 to 3 weeks?
A lot of the farms may be budgeting for needing fodder for up to a month. They may not need it, but I suppose if some farmers think they are going to be a bit short, they may look and buy a bit of silage or hay or something now just to tide them over. And it's really just a bit of security and a bit of a fallback in case things don't improve. We've seen it before where March into April has been very tricky as well. So a lot of these guys are well versed in what can happen with weather. Maybe keep the meal into some cattle that maybe would have been pulled off meal to try and pull back on the intakes of silage. And I suppose there has been a decision maybe on the odd farm as well that maybe cattle that were maybe going to go to grass and maybe killed in June, maybe fed on in the shed for an extra maybe 6 weeks maybe inside and finished out of the shed maybe later on a high meal diet instead, to try and I suppose leave a bit of grass there maybe for lighter stock to go out on. And And I suppose maybe reduce the silage demand in the short term for those type of stock.
So different actions being taken, Alan, for different groups of stock. I suppose the farmers are also busy. They're sourcing calves at the moment. What's the situation this spring sourcing calves?
A few things have changed this year. The volume of calves that was available probably earlier in the year wasn't seen. It's probably due to a couple of things. Maybe I suppose the first thing is that the sex semen usage has increased dramatically. So there's a number of farms who maybe use a lot of sex semen early in the time. So rather than having, you know, 50% of their calves coming as bulls, you know, when conventional semen is used, they had all heifers, which will be kept as their replacements, and moved on to using maybe more beef sires after that. And that's created, I suppose, an increased volume of calves probably available from now on farms. But it's a little bit later than some of our farms would have liked. Our guys that are in the monitor farm programs like to buy their calves fairly early. Prices are varying dramatically. I suppose the early calves would probably have been come at similar prices to last year. You're talking 60 to 70 euros probably for a lot of the Frisians, maybe some down around 50. The Continentals and the early maturing breeds, probably similar enough money to last year. But we have seen in March, especially in the last few weeks, calves making very little money. So, you know, a lot of Angus isn't that making in their own 5 or 10 euros, but these tend to be lighter calves. These are calves that are probably, when you look at some of the mark boards where they weigh the calves, they're probably coming in the, you know, 40 to 50 kilo mark or thereabouts. There doesn't seem to be much of a market for the likes of them. Farmers are wary of taking these calves in. When calves look a bit stronger and are maybe into the 3 to 4 week stage and they're 55 to 60 kilos, there's a much stronger demand from them, from farmers, and people are willing to pay probably similar money to last year again, from without much bother. So it's really, I suppose, a message for dairy farmers that, you know, you do need to put that bit of weight on these calves before they go. You know, these calves coming in at 40 to 50 kilos, you're very limited in the number of buyers you're going to have for that. And really, you're looking at a situation at the minute where a lot of these calves are being taken away for free. So it's a message there. These calves have to be heavier going into March. And I suppose a strong CBV and a well-done calf will always meet a good demand.
And what kind of CBV, the commercial beef value, are you looking for on these calves?
Well, to look, I suppose, if you got up to, you know, anything from 70 to 130 euros on a lot of these calves, you'd be happy enough. Some continental calves could be hitting in well into the 150s or plus, you know, or higher than that, depending on the sire used and depending on the cow type as well. It would have a big bearing in terms of the beef merit of the cow. Some cow types would have, I suppose, very low beef merit, and these need to be crossed with a fairly extreme bull to bring up the CBV. But I suppose, again, it's as much as CBV matters in terms of the genetics. You know, you do need to have that calf looking healthy, looking well fed, and looking strong. And that's what's, I suppose, is important to a farmer, that they're not, whatever about genetics, that they're not buying in trouble with a weak calf to start with. But look, we do see that a lot of the farmers are going into the genotyping program this year, and a lot of the calves are going through March now do have CBVs up on the boards, and gradually people will get used to figuring out what these calves are worth, you know, the price of a calf versus the CBV. And it will probably generate that the high CBV calves will be making a lot more than the low CBV calves in time.
And the management of these calves once they arrive on farm, Alan, are really, really important. What would you say are the two or three key areas that the farmers in the programme focus on to maximise the daily live weight gain and the different targets by the time these calves are weaned?
I'd say the first thing that we look at always once they arrive, right, you've your calf bought or dropped in the yard, is the health. And I suppose the vast majority of farmers I'm talking to now that are serious about this game, within the first few days of arrival, are maybe given a pneumonia vaccine. I suppose on farms we deal with, generally we see the intranasal as being the preferred one. Now it covers RSV and PI3, which would probably be some of the main killers of calves if they do get a touch of pneumonia. But what we do see is that, I suppose, that the intranasal ones are fast acting. They generally work within a couple of weeks, or within a couple of days, sorry, probably 4 to 5 days, you have close enough to full cover. So at least the calf that's landed in the yard and has been vaccinated is less likely to be suffering from getting chills and touches of pneumonia. And look, we do find that any farmers that have vaccinated the calves, even if they do get a touch of a chill or start breeding fast, etc., once they get any small shot of an antibiotic or whatever, you know, they recover very, very quickly once the vaccines are gone in. It's a very different calf to one that hasn't been vaccinated in terms of the treatment strategy. I would say, look, straw is obviously a big problem this year. So we're telling farmers, look, prioritise that straw as much as you can for bedding and calves. We wouldn't be recommending feeding straw at this stage now, you know, unless you have a serious quantity of straw on farm, which most don't. But the big danger, I suppose, is that if you're skimping on straw, you'll have wet beds, and that does bring with it some risks in terms of pneumonia also. Scours, we don't see huge problems with scours on farm. Generally, at the age most people buy calves, and once you hit that 3 to 4 weeks of age, any scours, the main scours like the Rota or maybe, you know, Crypto or whatever, they've probably come to the stage where they've got over it by the time you get your hands on them, in a lot of cases. So we don't generally see a huge volume of scour trouble on farms. If we do see, it's probably some mild nutritional scour. Some farmers may just put in maybe one of those scour tablets or whatever into a calf and maybe give them a feed of electrolytes. We don't see it as being a massive problem by and large, but that probably goes back to the age that our farmers are buying the calves at. I suppose another thing to remember is if you're dehorning calves, to leave about a week between vaccinating the calf and dehorning, because I suppose stress can inhibit the effectiveness of these vaccines. And I suppose, again, then just with milk and feeding, look, give plenty of meals to the calves, have a roughage source in. Hay is probably the preference one this year rather than straw because of the shortage of it. It's probably not as freely available. Or maybe very dry chopped silage would be okay as well. Yeah, and I suppose also then feeding your microplacer, I suppose, to try and keep it reasonably routine in terms of when you're feeding your calf, that, you know, you're not feeding them at 7 o'clock one morning and 11 o'clock the next day. It's, you know, within a few hours or an hour or two of the normal time you feed them every day, morning and evening, and keep that temperature, the milk replacer, fairly consistent. You know, lukewarm is where you want your milk replacer. You know, you don't want milk replacer to be too hot to denaturize the proteins. If you feed it cold, the calves will drink it, but then they have to heat it up in the room in themselves, or in their stomach themselves. So I suppose it's going to take a bit of extra energy out of the calf. So it's little things like that. And then I suppose the other thing is drafts and sheds. You know, there is problems with maybe calves being in unsuitable sheds, and some little bit of retrofitting might be needed just to get calves right. You know, a stock board can solve a lot of problems. You know, if farmers can go out to the co-op, you can buy stock board and 8x4 sheets for probably €50. They last a lifetime. You can tie them onto gates or whatever you want, or barriers or whatever, and it'll, you know, stop a draft coming in at a calf, and it's not a cold surface either. So it can make a big difference in terms of maintaining temperature in a calf shed and avoiding maybe some unnecessary chills coming in, etc. So it's little things like that you have to watch. And really, I suppose what we would say is that for calves that are on farm, you know, the first 2-3 weeks after they arrive, you really need to watch them like a hawk and see, is there anyone, you know, any calves with ears down or blowing fast or, you know, whatever.
Looking back at 2023, what was the profitability of the farms in the programme?
We maintained our profitability last year. So we came in at around 540 a hectare net again, excluding all payments. It's surprising given the year we've had, being honest. I had expected that it would have been a lot lower given the extra volume of meal that went in and the cost of inputs in the first half of the year. But I suppose there was a bit of a beef price rise there. You know, we had a strong enough beef price for the first couple of months of the year when some of our farmers were killing cattle, and it probably helped to a certain degree to counteract that. So I suppose while 500 odd euros per hectare isn't a fortune to be making, it's, I suppose we're encouraged by the fact that they're maintaining the level of net margin that they had the last number of years. It's I suppose something we would look to increase on again in the next year or so, but what we're seeing is that, you know, stocking rates and output levels are still the key drivers of profitability on these farms.
And for farmers operating the dairy calf to beef systems, what do you see as the key financial targets?
If you can complete a profit monitor, it'll tell you a lot about where your farm is standing. And one figure I'd always look at is the amount of live weight output per hectare you're producing. So the average of our farms is over 1,300 kilos of live weight, which is quite high given where the national figures sit. And there's a huge variation within farm, and that it's driven really by stocking rate. Vast majority of our farms are hitting, you know, 550 to 600 kilos of live weight on per livestock unit. And really, it's a driver of stocking rate after that. You know, we're at an average stocking rate of 2.3 livestock units to the hectare. We have some farms in derogation, we have some farms out of derogation. But really, when you look at it, there's the level of stocking rate and level of output once you're doing it from grass is the driver of profitability. So the sales across the farms are coming in at over 3,300 per hectare, which is probably comparable to where we saw dairy farms a couple of years ago in terms of our output. But our variable costs are quite high as well, coming in at around 2,000, just under 2,000 a hectare variable costs. Now, meal is our biggest problem there. I could put a share of that down to, I suppose, weather last year, that some cattle on some farms only grazed for 5 months last year. They went out in April and they were back in by September due to weather. And there was a lot of extra meal fed on farms versus last year. We probably hit an average of nearly over 1,000 per hectare, 1,000 euros per hectare of meal costs on farms. So 40 hectares are spending nearly 40,000 on meal, which is very, very, very high. But I suppose we lost probably two and a half months of grazing and had to bring stock in and make up weight gain inside with meal and silage, which is leading to a huge increase in costs.
Huge costs, and particularly with the weather, as you say, having such a huge impact last year, and particularly again, we'll probably see the same for spring this year, particularly getting stock out to grass. I suppose, given that the high meal input, what was the slaughter performance of the cattle that were slaughtered just before Christmas on a lot of farms?
It varied. We were back probably overall, I would say, probably back about, I suppose we're back maybe 20 kilos, I suppose, of slaughter in some of the farms. I know there was likes of here in Bartley there in Limerick who suffered a lot with weather, short grazing season.
I think cattle were back probably about 20 kilos carcass. Pat Collins would be the same. You know, a lot of the farms in the south seem to fare a bit worse, like Richie Long and that, where weather was a bit more extreme, and the rainfall levels were extremely high. So we're probably back, I suppose. You could take it on some of the farms, there was probably a hit of, you know, 15,000 plus in terms of income, because of reduced slaughter weights. And this is down to, I suppose, look, very low dry matters in grass from July onwards, leading to poor levels of weight gain, delayed turnout in the spring, and coming in then on trying to make up the deficit on silage and meal. We found that cattle tend to defatten, you know, after probably a similar enough length of time, wasn't too far extended, but they fattened at a much lower live weight. So that's led to a reduced income on farms, unfortunately.
Alan, when you look at the carcass performance, what was the difference across the different categories of stocks on the farm, such as dairy cross dairy or dairy cross beef, or some of the continental stock that were on the farms?
Yeah, I suppose that the predominant stock that are on the farms are dairy, which is essentially Frisians. And then the second biggest category would be dairy beef. And in reality, what we're seeing is either, you know, the live weights at, or the dead weight at slaughter is almost identical. So the Frisians came into just under 200, just under 300 kilos of carcass at 298 kilos. And continentals and early maturing breeds, when you average them out, would have come in at around 200 or 299 kilos. So they were only a kilo heavier. The only real difference was that there was probably an extra month of feeding required for the Frisians, versus the beef breed. So that was the only real difference. The actual weight was the exact same. They would have graded a little bit better, obviously, than Frisians, and they would have ate probably a little bit less feed, less silage, and less meal. But by and large, there wasn't a huge amount between them when you take into account the buying price of the Frisian versus the beef bred one and what they bring in at the end of the day. You know, the Continentals came into, or the sorry, the beef bred ones came into around 15.10, and the Frisians came into 14.40. So there was €70 extra to be got out of the beef bred ones versus the Frisians, but an extra month's feeding in the Frisians. So probably not a huge amount in the difference in the margin between the two categories. When you take buying price into account, heifers would have come in at around 250 kilos or thereabouts, and bulls around 290, 19-month bulls.
And looking back, Alan, at 2023, from what you've learned and the different analysis you've done there, as you've outlined, what do you see as the key three tips for farmers operating a dairy beef system in 2024?
Ensure you know your system before you start, and that be sure you have enough housing for stock going into the winter. We do see that a lot of people buy a certain category of animal, let's say you know, a male animal or whatever, and find out that they don't have enough housing for the winter. They're forced to sell them then in stores, maybe at maybe unsuitable times of the year. You don't want your head tied behind your back in that regard. I would say, look, when you're buying calves, you know, you obviously want to buy a healthy calf and a strong calf, but you can't overpay for that calf either. You know, if you're paying too much for those calves day one, you're going to lose all your money in what you've given. You know, you're giving away the profit. So, you know, buy hard and be sure that you're getting value for money, whatever type of animal you buy. You know, we see calves with high CBVs and low CBVs that can all make money when they're bought correctly. So you could have a Friesian with a very poor CBV that can leave as much as a Continental with a very high CBV if too much is paid for the high CBV calf. So it's about picking your point of buying, point of purchase, and know that you're getting value for money. And I would say as well, manage the health. The health in the first 3 or 4 months, when that calf arrives into the yard and when they transition to grass, ensuring you have as little setback as possible in those animals is very important. We saw last year with the way the weather was, you know, calves did reasonably okay in the shed. When they went to grass, we saw a huge drop off in the levels of weight gain. Dry matters were too low, and rain on top of calves, etc. There was a lot of health troubles came in on farms across the country. So it's just trying to maintain, watch your calves tightly for the first 3 or 4 months, ensure that they're thriving. And until they get to the well settled at grass, and you know, hopefully things will go fairly well from there. And keep an eye on those costs. You know, we see in the farms we're spending 2,000 a hectare on variable costs last year. We spent 800 a hectare on fixed costs. I don't think that's going to go down. It's probably going to go up. So it's a high input game. Just be sure you've got the cash reserves and the turnover to match your what's required in the input side.
That's great. Thanks very much, Alan. Some great tips and advice there. And we look forward to the different open days that'll be on the Dairy B500 farms during the year.
Okay, Catherine, thank you.
That's all for this week's episode, and my thanks to Alan for joining me on the show. You can catch up on all other shows and interviews from the Beef Edge podcast on the Chagas website at chagas.ie, or you can listen on Apple and Google Podcasts as well as Spotify. Don't forget to rate, review and subscribe so you never miss a show. For all other updates from our beef programme, keep an eye on our Twitter and Facebook pages. Until next time, I'm Catherine Egan and thanks for listening.